Blog Talk Radio.
I want to wish everybody a great evening. This is Lou U. Wildev with Garden of Enlightenment on the Late Night Poets radio show. Just to let you know about us, you can find us on allpoetry.com. It is a free website. You can join and you can find us there on Late Night Poets. Also, these radio shows and the After Midnight shows are provided to you by Poetry. And a lot of poets and poetesses donated their poetry for the books. And these make beautiful gifts and look great. and good for students. You can find the books on Amazon.com. And just like our group, Late Night Anthology, Late Night Poets Anthology books. So please check us out. And we have tons of poetry today, lots of open poetry. We will be doing front page picks that all poetry chose, and we read them from our members in the group, and we also do open poetry. So I'm going to start picking up everybody, and here we go. It takes so long to unmute you guys. Katie, my girl, my co-host. Hey, how you doing? She's from Scotland.
I sure am. Hello, my dear. I'm doing wonderfully well. Great to hear you.
Great to hear you and great to have you. And I'm going to pick up another caller. Caller 707. Who am I speaking with?
Irish Rose.
Hello, Irish Rose. How are you doing today?
Doing well. No rain. Yay.
Well, I live in the desert, so we like rain.
Well, welcome. All the atmospheric rivers.
Thank you. We do get them in our monsoon season. So welcome to the show. And I am picking up our next caller, which I already know who this is. It's Mr. Butter. Because his voice is just like butter. Hi, Zarat.
You're spreading me too thin, Lou. How you doing? Hello, everyone.
Hey, Laura.
Hey, Gwen.
Welcome. And
Glad you're picking up
our next. Yes, he is. He's a fantastic reader and commenter, as you all are. Caller 703. Who am I speaking with?
703, is that Miriam?
Mm-hmm. Hi, Miriam. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here. I'm hoping you'll let me read fairly early on. I will not be commenting because my brain is in such a horrible condition. But I think it's good enough for me to read a poem.
Well, I'm going to send out prayers to you and your family at this time.
Thank you so much.
And loving energies, and I hope everything.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. And I'm going to pick him up. I'm going to see if it's not too loud. Gray's on the train. So, hi, Gray.
Hello, you.
How you doing? Can you comment or read on the train? I'm doing good. Yeah. Is it kind of quiet for you?
Yeah, I'm on the bus.
You're on the bus now? Okay.
Yeah.
Do you want me to put you on hold? And?
Okay, I'll let you know.
Okay, all right. Thank you, Gray. Okay, that is Gray Eyes. All righty. So I'm having problems with my computer, so I'm going to read trusting on my trusty Witty Pie. Miss Katie, and we're ready for the poem.
Okay. Next one up, just my Bamp Vixen, and that has a SoundCloud.
Okay, here we go.
My therapist pokes and prods me to tear these locks from Pandora's box, to sift through memories covered in dust and write one condensed, abridged essay containing all the versions of you. A history of 20 years gone too fast and a swirl of life lived before our war. But I don't know how to encapsulate the whole of you. There are too many lifelines, inside jokes, branching like fractals. From times you were the will to my grace, when we swore we'd always be best friends. Like the fox and the hound, and I, always the Disney adult who believed in this, our fairy tale, did not see the hellhound's pointed teeth until forever became too hard to hold. Now I sit, sifting old scribbled journals, cracking open the hidden answer key. These gems buried beneath years of dirt, tracing trauma of too many misplaced steps as I chart a map to where you went. So maybe I can follow you back home. Rereading these old lines, drowning in this water under the bridge, how did we strangers share so much? An ultimate lifeline of earmarked chats, throwback Thursday group photos, half-remembered quotables, videos where your voice still makes me flinch a bit inside. Moments captured in journaled words, or even your own girlfriend, was certain that crowbars and explosives could never pry our best friendship apart. Years ago, she was so sure we were unbreakable. She vowed never to make you choose, her promise now laid, copied in fading ink, just as she said. I never want to see him as hurt as he would be to not have you in his way. Wouldn't your ex now be surprised to learn our parting never bothered you? And so I skip ahead another year to entries penned for my rock bottom, a path drowned on broken bottles of rum. So desperate was I to fit in with friends who never loved me like you did. But you waded into my seasick ocean and swam me back to shore saying, Vixen, you have to stop doing this. These are not your friends. You have to get out. Do not pass go. Do not collect $200. Because I always stayed too long. You know this about me. So maybe you can also understand why I kept calling you by now. And I am rereading my old journals, wanting to dive into these written words, all the years yellowed in yesterday's ink, cover myself with these paper sheets to block out these strong rays of the sun, because once again we stayed awake, just talking. But everything else that I know is coming for us, whistles like train whistles down the tracks. And I'm reading these damn old journals, holding me captive in snippets of time. Others claim we won the best friend jackpot. So jealous we made when Harry met Sally Work, chasing each other from concert to convention, from Philadelphia to Ohio, New Jersey, and New York. And if I hadn't written it down a decade ago, it would feel like a half-forgotten dream. But our last page was an alarm going off, a betrayal that wrecked me like no other, leaving my corpse to crawl out from my bed as the pedestal that you were standing on burned to ash like Anakin, and my brother in arms was gone. Now all that remains of stories we shared are but a few words, a scattering of lines, and dates that will disappear with time. Such sweet, sad memories from back in the day when your life was shared with mine.
I want to thank Bat Dixon for this beautiful poem that she wrote to her friend. And in her author's notes, and you can just literally hear the emotions in this young woman's voice. My best friend of 15 years exists now only in a memory. It was the breakup that hurt me the most in my life, but I never really mourned it because it felt silly mourning someone who was just a friend. You know, and then she wrote this where from it says, my heart has developed a kind of amnesia where it remembers everything but itself by Sabrina, Benham Depression, and Other Magic Tricks. You know, when you've been with somebody, connected with somebody for 15 years, for so long, it is so difficult, and for any of us to, especially when this friendship, the person just leaves you and no longer speaks to you and answers your phone calls. And I really thought that she brought this out so well, especially where she's mourning him, where she said, you know, she was reading his advice to her about staying, trying to be friends with people who really didn't want to be friends with her. And then she says, and I am reading my old journals, wanting to dive into these written words, all the years yellowed in yesterday's ink, and cover myself in these paper sheets to block out the strong rays of sun, because once again we stayed awake just talking, but everything else that I know is coming for us echoes like train whistles down the track. Beautiful poem, Vamp Dixon, and I'm so sorry you had to go through this. What did you think about the poem, Katie?
Oh, you could hear the pain. That's so sad.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the thing about friendship is that you can pick your friends. You can choose who you want to spend your time with. Family, you know, you put up with them if you like them or love them, they're there. Friends, for some reason, always seem to hold some bigger place in your heart. So I thought it was very moving, beautifully written, but it was so sad. So thank you for sharing that.
Thank you so much. Thank you, Katie. And how about you, Irish Rose?
Oh, I think the passionate friendships of years is one that's really tough to take when they finally break down. And it depends on how they break down. And sometimes they break down like this. And you're left with the remnants of love. And you're trying to figure out how to put it back together until it dawns on you that you're not going to put it back together. And so trying to find that acceptance somehow, some way, to move on is the challenge. And I think she delivered this really well in her emotion, in the reading, and just in the way that she had the tone and temper in mm-hmm. her voice. And I really think she gave a great performance. It was good.
Great. Thank you so much. And what did you think about the poem, Laurent?
Wow. Best friend relationships can be deeper and more meaningful than a married relationship. Certainly an equal.
Mm-hmm.
The stresses are different. Expectations are modified into a bond that doesn't suffer from the expectations and context of marriage. More than half of all marriages fail. I think the odds are better with the relationships.
With friendship.
With friendship, mm-hmm. which is why this poem really tears at the heart. The true living death, so well recounted.
Mm-hmm. Good comment.
True. Yeah, that was a good, you know, it's true because you can tell them things that you normally can't tell anybody else and express yourself. And when that, I agree with you, when that, that can, there's a different type of pain, I believe. Excellent comment,
mm-hmm.
Ron. Thank you. Mm-hmm. And how about you, Miriam?
I wrote a comment on the board. I'd rather not do it.
Okay. Okay, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. And I know Gray's not home yet. So we are ready for our next poem.
Okay, our next poem is Love Between Us. I hope so. Irish Rose, would you like to read this?
Oh, thank you. I'd be honored. Yes, I'd like to do that. Begin poem, Love Between Us. While honeycomb singing straight out of the helix, dripping, taste of flora, mixing with top shelf whiskey, yellow dandelion pollen, sugar dust, cultivate strings of mad meal, collecting in my mouth, tangles with cheering taste buds, leaving this humble Hispanic woman feeling drunk off the maneuvering foreign tongue from the architect below the waist. Trigger puller with calligraphy pens from all shades, Spanish, Portuguese, English, a touch of French with a dash of Finnish, swirls in a small tulip hill, moistened from saliva residues on the corner of the lips. Sticking to floating ribs, unhollow, empty space, blooming tiny daisies, opening the star petals of daffodils, cloud puffs of white kissing, daydream sunlight, watering the lilies, vocal cords with running bass, makes knees weaker than weak, sneak between the cracked piano keys, frail, fragile 88, setting his body up in a blaze, burning light and low, with his plans for the future that go far beyond tonight, counting down weeks,
fingers tapping to the days, cupping palms to carry bags of please don't ever stop your love on me, my love on you, love between us. In poem.
Oh, you did such a beautiful reading, Iris Rose, of Hope's poem. What I loved about when she writes about her relationship, how those sparks radiate from her body for this man that she's so deeply in love with. And I really loved how she painted this yellow dandelion pollen sugar dust, cultivate strings of mad miel, collecting in my mouth, tangles with cheering taste buds, leaving this humble Hispanic woman feeling drunk off the maneuvering foreign tongue from the architect. When you love someone so much and how they respond to your love by making you feel after, you know, that honey, mm-hmm. honey stays on your tongue, on your skin, and it's thick and it's not so easily washed off. And when you're in love with somebody, when the, you know, after making love, how the next day or the morning you wake up, you feel so intoxicated from the lovemaking and the time that you, person who enraptures your heart. And I thought she beautifully pinned this in such gorgeous metaphors. What did you think, Katie?
Oh, yes, you are so correct. This was full of passion. I do love this. And that was a brilliant read by the Irish Rose. Thanks for that. It was just so sweet, so sexy, so intimate. And I love the way the shape of it comes down the page and curves. And I like that a lot. I said before, I do love poetry that moves like this because I can't scan it. I have to read every line, which is good because it means I pay more attention. I think it was beautifully done. And I envy that love and that passion. Wonderful. So thank you for sharing with us.
Thank you, Katie. Beautiful comment. And how about you, Irish Rose? You read her poem beautifully.
Oh, thank you. I really enjoyed the imagery and the flow. It was so nice. It just tumbled one line into the other, and it was always a surprise to see what image was coming up next, and it was like, oh my goodness, this was really a treat to read. I enjoyed it.
Thank you, and thank you, Irish Rose. Beautiful comment. And Laurent?
I thought this was a very dramatic poem, dramatic in its appreciation of the kind of love that exists between two people. You take that first stanza, wild honeycomb singing, and then the line, mixing the top shelf whiskey. You have that wonderful, sweet song mixing with the strength and burning of the whiskey. So you're establishing opposite poles for the appreciation of one for the other. The imagery throughout is just gorgeous. The use of calligraphy pens from all shades, Spanish, Portuguese, English, a touch of French, dash of Finnish, swirls on a small teal hill. It just drew me right back to the image of that intricate image of colors combining, the way this poem mm-hmm. combines appreciation of one love for another.
So true. Beautiful comment, Mark. And great comment, everybody. And we're ready for our next poem, Miss Katie.
Okie dokie. The next one is Dragonflies by Xenophobic Blues. I'm sorry. It always trips me up.
Symphonic.
yeah, you can say it easy for you, my darling. But
Symphonic Blues.
Every time I know how to do it, it just keeps doing it. Every time I say it, I try to say it somewhere else. Okay, yeah, it's very similar to the way that certain words in English and American mm-hmm. are spelt the same, mean the same, but are said completely differently. My brain just doesn't pick up. Okay, this is a sound cloud. I think this has a sound mm-hmm. cloud.
What a beautiful picture. And here we go.
yesterday, dragonflies, one. Mist hovers, silky gossamer poised on a stream. Khaki shorts, four-year-old's hands grasping, palm to wingtip. For a moment, a small universe of beauty and grace. Magellanic clouds drink the aerial crystalline. Yesterday, I held your hand. Scrape on one knee, stand still. Past fingers and rain clouds, fleeting dewdrops. Gravitational pull, convulsive. Iridential jewels step like a tightrope walker. Abdomen-shaped missile launch. Integrate shimmer of wings. A concert. Tongues. Scripts. Pictographs. Skeletal drawn cruising. The name seems hardly a friendly miracle. The boy's reflection. Childhood being. Funneled into fingerprints and thumb. Two. The day shimmers accelerated. Semiographic seizures. When the lamp falls over the top for all its burnt out summers. Breeze laid by breath in the night's embers camisole. Crepe poppies, red tissue scarlet, issued this long line of words. Souveniring footprints in the grain of time. Oxygen's transparent verso. Sober explanations like powdered stars. Sky ballerina glides in a gown of lucid blue, glowing ember, fervent, hovering, infinitely, practically, supernaturally, those mesmeric dashes. Micrometeorite wings, wildflowers, could whisper through. Sunset cicadas in full choir singing, my prayers to rise, and dawn on dragonfly wings awakens, yes, I think I'm alive. End poem.
Oh, nice.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, you know, he is so beautiful with his metaphors. You know, I felt as when I was reading, I was catching shots, Polaroid pictures of time of this four-year-old, which I'm, you know, I don't know if this is his son or not, or his young daughter. And, you know, to see how children, I think as adults, and I have seen this, that they forget their childlike behavior inside of them. And when we as adults look at a child and we see the joy and the beauty that they have for nature, dragonflies and butterflies, how they're so enchanted by that. And I thought that he beautifully caught that. And I love this where he said, crepe poppies, red tissue scarlet, issued this long line of words. Now my tongue got all tongue-tied. Summering footprints in the grass of time. I know I'm not mispronouncing that. I'm kind of goofy tonight, so please excuse me. I haven't been sleeping with all this coughing, but, you know, he just took me into the wild, wildflowers could whisper, though, sunset and casadas in full choir singing my prayers to rise. And dawn on dragonfly wings awakens, yes, I think I'm alive. You know, to see this, you know, I am still enchanted. You know, I remember when I was taking a walk in Germany down these old farmer trails, one of the fields was just full of red poppies, and I have never forgotten how the sun felt and the, you know, the golden rays that were just magnifying the beauty of the red and the black and the anners of the inside of the flowers that I touched and watching the butterflies. You know, it is something that enchants you. And he did write this to a beautiful quote. And I just thought this entire poem was absolutely stunning. What did you think, Katie?
I totally agree with you. Absolutely beautiful. So many images coming from this, and the flow of it is absolutely key to how it sounds, I think. I particularly like glowing ember, fervent, hovering, instantly, practically, supernaturally. Just gorgeous. And having the memories of a four-year-old, going back in time and remembering how glorious everything was. That everything had light shining from it, through it. Everything was amazing and wonderful. The first time you ever see, taste, hear anything, it's a wonderful thing to be a child. I don't ever intend to grow up. I'll just stay the age I am. I'm about six, I think. That'll suit me quite well.
All right.
That's a great age to be, the inner child.
Yes. Never want to grow up. I don't want to. I don't like the idea at all. So, yes, it was beautiful.
Yeah.
And Xylophonic Blues, I enjoyed your poetry so much. Thank you. And the picture
was
gorgeous.
Oh, yeah. Thank you so much, Katie, for a lovely comment. And I got a six-year-old child inside of me, and I'm not going to let her grow up. How about you, Irish Rose?
Oh, I really enjoyed this. The imagery just really jumps off the page. Okay, so I'm one of those kids that was a little nerdy bug collector kid, and I remember my adventures with butterflies and catching dragonflies and all this. And dragonflies to me were these magical beings that transformed, you know. And they're just mesmerizing to watch, and how they move so quickly and they zip around, and their colors are iridescent and they change with the light, you know, and their wings transparent. And so they look very supernatural, you know. And so I really like this one passage. Crepe poppies, red tissue scarlet, issued this long line of words, souveniring footprints in the grain of time. And I thought to myself, I thought, how did my memories come jumping back to me like that about these dragonflies, you know? And I thought this was a really well-captured and well-done poem. And I love the form. I love the flow. Great word choices. And it just all fits nicely together.
I love your comment, Irish Rose. And thank you for souveniring, because I used to stutter when I was a child. So, you know, kids make fun of you. So I usually was by myself out in nature. So thank you for that. I still stutter when I get tired. So you have to excuse me.
Right.
Thank you,
all
Irish.
Right.
And how about you, Laurent?
It's an outstanding piece. Brought alive the author's memory, his brush strokes, reflecting the pen of a mind truly alive. It's redolent of enviable metaphors and phrasing. This poem is a gift to all readers, written with the intricacy and warmth of a polished pen, the wonderful writer.
Agreed. Thank you, thank you. And we have a new caller, 111. That must be my other Canadian sweetheart, Naomi.
Hello. Hello, guys.
Hi, sweetie.
Hello,
how are you
everybody?
Doing?
Hey, Bill.
Doing okay. Doing better. Doing okay. Yeah, busy, busy day today for me, but doing okay. I had a long nap.
Good to hear your voice. it's good to have you back, sweetheart. Were you able to hear? Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, I read over it. I just read over it quickly, and what a gorgeous piece. Oh, my gracious. Like, I echo what Laurent just said there. You know, the metaphors in here and the imagery are to die for, you know. Sky ballerina glides in gown of lucid blue. You know, what beautiful lines to capture, the flight of the dragonflies, which, you know, I was listening to Irish Rose saying how it's enchanting and brings her back to childhood. Yeah, and me too. I love to watch dragonflies, you know, like Irish Rose said, they zip around. And it's so true, too. You know, they just dart and zip around and they go so fast. But what a beautiful, beautiful write. Just amazing. I mean, he has such a fabulous, fabulous pen. So Bravo, bravo.
Thank you, Naomi. And we have another caller, just one minute. Caller 512, who am I speaking with?
Yeah, I thought you recognized my voice by then.
Oh, hi, Frank.
Hello, hello, hello.
So happy
hello.
To have you. How was your vacation? Okay.
Oh, it was good. It was good. I did a lot of charity work there. I just want to say that I'm not sure if I'm going to be able to read much tonight because of my phone issues, but I thought I'd call in and just hang as much as I can.
Okay.
Of course, share time with all of you, of course.
Did you get to hear the poem that was read by Irish Rose by Symphonic Blues?
No, I was not. I was in the process of trying to call in.
Okay, that's okay. I'll catch you next time, sweetie. Okay, Katie, I don't know if you got my message I sent you. I'd like to read Miriam's poem next because she requested that.
Okay, no problem. I'll just get back to that. Give me a moment.
Yeah, I can read it. I just can't think up new words to say.
Oh, it's okay, my dear.
That's okay. She's just looking for your poem.
Okay, I had it a second ago.
Can you hear me?
Yes,
we can hear you.
Okay, I was hoping to read my poem.
Okay, we're looking for it. Okay, it's under Richard Wiseman.
Right, okay. I saw it a second ago and it just...
You want me to pick it up or you got it?
Yes, no, pick it up because I cannot find it anywhere, please.
Okay, it's because you're looking. That's what always happens. Every time you look for something, you can't find it, but it's always there.
Yep.
Right.
I put it in.
I know where it's at. Pick it up.
I put it in. I put
it's
it in.
Already, it's
okay.
Up there.
Thank you, sweetie. I appreciate it, Naomi. Okay, I'm having problems with my computer. Okay, go ahead, Miriam.
Thank you. My poem is called Advent, and this is one that I wrote when I was a sophomore in college, 1970, and I was actually in the hospital with anxiety, but that doesn't come into the poem, so I'll just read it. Advent. Cold boughs loosed heavy leaves, weak with approaching winter. Clouds drooped, pregnant with snow. Hard ground cramped. Sting of bright whistling air whirling through red ears, nipping red noses. And then red cranberries strung with needles that make small fingers match bittersweet beads. We used to sit by a crackling fire and popcorn to string, gold and white with the plump red berries. Mama would bring in pine boughs and holly to stick in gold sand round a custard mold to make a deep green Advent wreath. The oldest of us children always lit the first candle as Daddy read, "Stir up our hearts, O Lord, and come." But Christmas Eve was the best. Hanging the Jesse symbols one at a time, each of us reading our passage. O rising sun, O happy fault, O burning bush, and then selecting the very best branch to hang our treasure. Anne always started singing, "We are climbing Jacob's ladder," when we hung that white and gold angel-crowded paper on the tree. She certainly thought she was mighty funny. Well, after the symbols and the lights were up, there were never enough working bulbs of the same kind, so we had an odd assortment. The oldest child held the youngest child high up to the ceiling, where the star was reverently wired to the topmost bough. After that, of course, there was no ceremony, just pandemonium as we reveled in each tiny, handmade, shining article made long, long ago or yesterday. We even had the silver beaded chain that once adorned the first small Christmas tree our parents had before their first child came. After the silver rain was hung and the lights turned on, we put out hay for the donkey and hung our stockings by the chimney. Yes, our traditions were a bit confused. And then we sung till our voices cracked and we got chased to bed. Cold boughs knocked on the windows. Sharp winds wailed through the night. But we, in our warm beds waiting, dreamed of approaching light. End poem.
Oh, Miriam, this is a lovely, lovely poem of just like that chain popcorn of memories that are chained together that are never forgotten. This was absolutely beautiful. The winter scene that you painted out, but for me, it was the warmth that was inside your home between you and your siblings. I found so endearing. We used to sit by a crackling fire and popcorn to string gold and white with the plump red berries Mama would bring in pine boughs and holly to stick in gold sand. Oh my goodness, that was just beautiful. And, you know, it's so visual that it just brings back memories and our own lives when we read this. I also loved this. I loved, we even had the silver beaded chain that once adorned the first small Christmas tree our parents had before their first child came, and how you shared the memories with your brothers and sister towards the end of the poem. But I also liked how you talked about the silver tinsel, how it was like rain. I had never thought about it like that, but it does look like rain when it streaks down the windows, caught in the lighting or moonlight. Beautiful, beautiful poem and beautiful read, Miriam.
Thank you so much.
And you're welcome. Katie, what did you think?
I agree with you totally. That was beautifully read, Miriam. I really enjoyed it. It was as if I was watching. Your imagery mm-hmm. was so tight, so well written that you gave me those mind pictures that I could enjoy while I listened to you read it. It sounded idyllic, given it sounded wonderful to have a childhood like that. And Christmas is so incredibly special. So I'm so glad that you could get your memories down and share them with us. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Katie.
Thank you, Katie. And what did you think of the poem, Irish Rose?
Oh, I really enjoyed it. It took me back to the sentiments of my own family and when I was a child. And it was a journey of all those experiences. And I liked the way that you worked in the pine boughs. And I could just, like, all of a sudden smell the pine. And I thought, I remember how, yeah, the pine boughs. And something about when you have a smell in a poem, it just, like, kind of goes, ooh, you know, it's real. And so I really enjoyed that. And, you know, this poem, even though it was written in 1970, it still is alive and it still breathes mm-hmm. with life today. And those traditions that we still hold, and, you know, it was by the real people they were made, and they're still there in your heart, and they will never disappear, and nothing will steal them, and you can always visit them. And I really enjoyed this.
Thank you, Laura. I mean, thank you, Irish Rose.
That's all right.
Laura, your next
That's
comment.
Okay.
Oh, my goodness. Right.
Yes, I agree with everyone's comments up to this point. And like other commentators, it brings me back to a childhood when Christmas is much less commercialized, I think, than it was now. And I can remember reading early Bible stories. I had this idealized vision of what a Christmas morning should be, or a Christmas Christmas Day or the day before Christmas, all the little activities that a family participates in. When the youngest child is quoted as being lifted by the oldest child, it kind of implies there are other children in between as well. So in my mind's eye, I hold a picture of several children, four or five perhaps, and a mother and a father who have managed to imbue inanimate objects with a tradition, with a kind of a backstory. Particularly compelling was the description, I think it was Lulu, the silver chain, the first decoration on the first small tree before any children, and to have that revered and the warmth that is expressed in this poem really, really makes it kind of special.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's just beautiful. Full disclosure, there were us kids in the household.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, that's what it sounds like.
Mm-hmm.
Lovely.
And Craig, would you like to make a comment?
Sure. You did a beautiful read on your poem, and your poem was definitely a well-told story of remembrance from your childhood past. You know, such beautiful memories to share with the world, and you did a wonderful job in doing that, so thank you for sharing.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Gray. And how about you, Naomi?
Yeah, you know, this is, you know, what makes this poem stick out for me, you know, of course it's beautiful, you know, it's amazing, it has amazing imagery, but well, what makes it really stick out for me, it's sincerity. You know, when you have those phrases in between there, you know, she certainly thought she was mighty for funny. And then, well, after the symbols and all the and the lights were up, there were all never enough working bulbs of the same kind, so we had an odd assortment. And I giggled at that because, you know, that always happens. You know, you always have these bulbs when you connect them, and, you know, some of the bulbs don't work. And, you know, that brought, for me, the poem right to life, you know, with all its sincerity, with all its rawness and its realness, you know, that made this such a superb, superb, you know, memory, and so well written and so tenderly endearing, and, you know, your all these loving memories that you wrote here. So bravo, Miriam. It's such a beautiful write indeed.
Thank you so much. I found out it was about 25 years after I wrote the poem. I sent it to my family, and Anne told me that the reason she was so sour on the symbols that we were putting on the tree, the Jesse symbols, was that that didn't connect with her childhood. You know, I thought it had gone on forever, but to her it was something new, and she didn't like it.
Sorry to hear that. And Frank, would you like to make a comment on Miriam's poem and read?
Yes. First of all, I thought it was a remarkable read. I agree with the Irish Rose. This brought me to memory lane as well. You know, it's memories like this that we should cherish even more as we get older in time. There's so much written in this poem and expressed, and the way you read it, it was just so probably just breathtaking. You know, the memories that you describe here are the memories that in time that we ultimately remember more, we're fond of more as well. So I thought you did a fantastic job in that regard, and I'm glad that you're on the airwaves with us as well.
Thank you
very much. I have to give credit to both of my parents for my poetry reading. The two of them taught me how to read poetry. And my Francis and Kent and Kilmer are both poets.
Wow, what a wonderful memory.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And Katie, we're back to you for our next poem.
Oh, yes. And next we have Joan of Arc by After the Fire. And Naomi, could I ask you to read this, please, my dear?
Okay. By, well, Sam and Dave, I guess. Joan of Arc. I will not be your Joan of Arc. I will not bear the blame for love that perished in the dark. It's you. It's you who doomed the flame. I will not be your martyr, for I'm not the one who failed. Love doesn't live here anymore, but you're the one who bailed. You've soiled my reputation, and you've caused my heart to ache. But I won't bear the guilty brand or burn at censor's stake. The gods will find me innocent. I know that in the end, my name will come to represent that I am passion's friend. I will not be your Joan of Arc. I will not wear the chain of blame when you put out the spark that made you love our love in vain. End poem.
Oh, my goodness. You did such a beautiful read, Naomi, of Dammit Dave's poem. You know, I really, really love this entire poem. It's, you know, it talks about a relationship where, you know, some people want to be the martyr and burn, you know, for their belief. But, you know, he's talking about here, how can I burn when I'm not the one who caused the problem? And, you know, he brings that out. I will not be your martyr, for I am not the one who failed. Love doesn't live here anymore because you're the one who failed. You soiled my reputation, and you've caused my heart to ache. But I won't bear the guilty brand or burn at censure's stake. You know, there just comes a time when, in all of our lives, when we get involved with somebody, and whether this is true or not, you know, at least for me, you know, I took it on a personal stand, his poem, you know, where you are blamed for everything that happened in a relationship when you were not the one at fault. And, you know, I'm not going to say it's mom sorry or it's my fault if I didn't do it. And I will not. And I will say that if I didn't do it, you know, I'm sorry. You take the responsibility. Oh, fantastic poem. And what did you think about the poem, Katie?
Yes, I really enjoyed it. I thought it was very cleverly done. I love the way he brings in. I like a connecting. I will not be your martyr. I like that. It goes through the poem. I thought the penultimate stanza was actually very gripping. The gods will find me innocent. I know that in the end, my name will come to represent that I am passion's friend. Yeah, beautifully done. As ever, he never fails. Damn it, Dave, you've done it again. Beautifully written. Thank you.
I agree. So well said, Katie. Thank you, Katie. And how about you, Irish Rose?
Oh, I really enjoyed the poem. It had a really nice flow. It was very succinct in the I statement. I think when one gets into a relationship that is not with responsibility, that it's really important to preserve oneself and to really look at it critically and say, you know, what was mine, what was yours, what was ours. And then, you know, try to work from that point of view. And I thought he did this in a very, very powerful way. And making I statements are very important so that you don't mitigate the pain, that you are able to define it. And I really enjoyed that.
Beautiful comment. Thank you so much. And Laurent, you are next to comment.
You've soiled my reputation and you've caused my heart to ache. I won't bear the guilty brand or burn at censure's stake. So this is immaculately penned and rhymed. The essence of Joan of Arc is a marker, is a suit of clothes he chooses not to wear. A shout of defiance denies guilt and responsibility, the spark that died. There's a great depth to the words in this poem that I really enjoyed. Well done.
Mm-hmm. Agreed. Thank you, Laurent. And what did you think about the poem, Gray Eyes?
Yeah, you know, he had excellent imagery as well as the emotional forthrightness mm-hmm. of the poem. You know, I am not going to take the blame for you leaving and, you know, you soiling my reputation. And so, you know, I agree with what Irish Rose said as well. Excellent comment, Irish. And a great read.
Thank you.
And a meal.
Thank you, Gray. And what did you think about the poem, Naomi?
Yeah, well, you know, a lot has been said, and I agree with it all. But, you know, what I can just maybe add is that it's so relatable, you know, to everybody, you know, that's been in a relationship and, you know, that has failed. And that also that it was a joy to read. You know, it's such a... You know, although the poem is deep and poignant and has a darkness to it, you know, it was a real joy to read such a well-metered, well-flowing poem. It just comes, it's just music in your mouth. So very well done, damn it, David, indeed.
Thank you, Naomi. And how about you, Frank?
Yeah, first of all, I'm not really familiarized with, I know it might sound strange, with the singer that's mentioned there at the bottom, but I do know the whole storyline of Joan the Arc. I thought this poem really epitomized much of the struggle here. And I like the way you encompass, I'm assuming, the storyline as well with the song itself. But I like, but I was more... I think it's the lines that were said there by Laurent that he mentioned there, the stanza, if you saw my reputation. That whole stanza there was very determining, was very much resolute, I would say. And I thought the poem overall was exceptional. And I like the way, I think Naomi did a fantastic job there for this poem here. It was really, you know, you do the eye, like what was said before here, I believe it was Irish Rose. When you personalize a poem, you start it with I, you make it, you emphasize there the personal nature of the poem.
Excellent comment. Thank you so much. And we're back to you, Katie. I think we can do one more poem before open poetry.
Yeah, I thought so. I just had it there. I shall get it back. I'm very sure which way we're going to jump. There we are. Cesar Chapman, Nom de Plume, and Laurent, would you care to read this?
Yes, thank you. All right. Nom de Plume by Cesar Chapman. Black ink blooms honeysuckle vines that lie dormant in my chest. I hide behind the midnight veil, singing sonnets in a windstorm, the thousand mercuric chimes hanging from our cherry tree. Can you hear me? The fossilized notes that stroke each imperfect line on your face, the relic voice enunciating every syllable, raising every ivory pore, the seared taste of womanhood on its tongue. As I feverishly wear down my incisors on brass-dipped pens, barn owls glide above me, the silent wings punctuated by mice wheeling their last breath. The dim lantern flame pulls my chin. Look across the hall. There you lie, bare on your navel. You turn your head towards me. Godless shadows trace the curves of your back. Your talons clasp my flesh. I squeal and steal till my lungs burn its final breath like a spent star, drifting, entangled in the blackness of your pupils. I reflect not Herculean shoulders, but instead a stumbling mute buffoon with dangly arms, gazing back as old stars often do. Each metaphor, each imagery, written with bones, will be forever lost in your arms, till stellar winds claim its dust. Close your eyes. Find my words. They are here waiting. They are me. And phone.
Oh my goodness, Laurence. You did beautiful read to Cedar Chapman's poem. I see in his author's notes where he said that Valentine's Day is near, so I thought I'd write a love poem dedicated to all the INFJs in the world who understand that love is complicated. Does anybody know what INFJs are?
Yes, I do.
What is it?
It's a personality type that is usually very, very quiet and very introspective.
Mm.
And so it makes for a different type of relationship.
Well, this sounds like, I think that sounds like Cedar exactly. You know, I love his metaphor, his description. You know, it just, you know, just slowly sunk into my heart. Entangled the blackness of your pupils. But for me, what I love, because I have all different types of wind chimes that pay bass or soprano tones, and they tend to take me away, and I have honeysuckle growing up my trellises. Black ink blooms, honeysuckle vines that lay dormant in my chest. I hide behind the midnight veil, singing sonnets in a windstorm with a thousand Yakuric chimes hanging from our cherry tree. Can you hear me? And, you know, and I found that so beautiful because sometimes, and I'm sure all of us have felt this, where I can't say the words I want to say. The only way I can say them is poetry. And that just seems like where it comes out. And then I look at it and I go, oh my goodness, did I write that? Because normally the way I write is not how I speak, but how I feel is in how I speak in my poetry. So thank you for that, Irish Rose. And thank you, Cedar, for this, oh my goodness, this beautiful poem. And thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, Laurent, for reading it so beautifully. What did you think, Katie?
Can I just say, first of all, somebody's got a radio or a television on in the room with them, I think, and it's actually quite, it's coming through quite loud. So if you have something in your, blessed silence, wonderful. Thank you so much.
Yeah, we all make mistakes. We don't realize that on the radio you can hear everything in the background. So, anyways, just you know, FYI, and I've made that mistake too.
Yeah, me too.
Okay,
I
Katie.
We all have. Yes, I thought this was Cedar, as usual, gives you something that you really have to think about, which I enjoy very much. Not that I enjoy the pain in my head, but I enjoy the thinking. So it's very good. But I particularly liked, as I feverishly wear down my incisors on brass-tipped pens, barn owls glide above me, their silent wings punctuated by mice screwing their last breath. Oh, the cycle of life. There you are. Beautiful owls and dead mice. Beautiful. A lovely thought. Yes, I did enjoy this very much. And the title was excellent as well. Nom de plume, very good. So thank you, Cedar. I enjoyed it intensely.
Thank you. And what did you think about the poem Irish Rose?
Oh, I really enjoyed it. From the INFJ perspective, that is introverted and is very deep. And it takes time to assess, you know, others or the surroundings or whatever they're with. And so from that perspective, I thought this was really done really accurately and very well. And I really enjoyed the end of it, gazing back as old stars often mm-hmm. do, each metaphor, each imagery written with bones, to be forever lost in your arms, its stellar winds, claim its dust. Close your eyes. Find my words. They are here waiting. They are me. And so the INFJ wants to be found, but they can't go out and find. Really well done.
Thank you. Thank you. Beautiful comment, Irish Rose. Thank you. Laurent?
Yeah, I commented on this a while back. My first comment on this poem was very superficial. It was written in haste. The act of reading it aloud for him this time, my pleasure to do so, by the way, I brought the poem alive for me, really allowed me to exist in the words. I mean, literally the outside world, I felt as if it was fading away. And I was mm-hmm. just, I was on paper. The end was a return to reality that startled me. A testament to the power of the pen. Just a wonderful piece.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Laura. Wonderful comment. And how about you, Greg?
Yeah, you know, he did a beautiful job of crafting this right, right from the beginning. Black ink blooms, honeysuckle, vines that lie dormant in my chest. I mean, that's just an astounding introduction to the poem. And then the fossilized notes that stroke each imperfect line on your face. You know, it's just beautiful poetry throughout, and I love the alliteration as well. So fantastic read as well, Lauren. Great job.
Thank you, Gray. And how about you, Naomi?
Well, first of all, Laurent, that was the most beautiful, wonderful read of that poem. My gracious, it brought out all its meaning. And, you know, this is such an elegantly, sensual rite with just such amazing stanzas that are just gilded with brilliant imagery and metaphors all through. I just loved, you know, the rhythmic voice enunciating every syllable, braising every ivory pore to sear the taste of womanhood on its tongue. Just superb, superb writing. So bravo, Cedar. You know, most excellent write here. Beautifully, beautifully done.
I agree. Thank you, Naomi. Such a beautiful comment. And how about you, Frank?
Well, you know, the metaphors were exquisite. I thought the language overall was exceptional. You know, I was scrolling down and he mentions about writing a love poem here. And I thought this poem, although it was sensual, aspects of love, you know, every line is just drenching with exquisite metaphors there. I like in particular the ending there where he says, close your eyes, why my words are here waiting, they are me. That is a declaration there, one of which we do find love, or we all love. We want that expression there. We want to express our love there. So he did a fantastic job. And I like the title as well. So overall, it was an exceptional piece. And a great read as well by Rob.
Thank you. Thank you, everybody. And wonderful comments, Frank. And thank you so much to Laurent and Peter for that beautiful read in his poem. And we're in open poetry. And because we have so much poems and we have several people commenting, we're going to do three comments per poem so we can read, get everybody in here, and that's on the board. And here we go, Katie. We're ready to go. Ripping and roaring.
Okay. Back to the Time of Black and White Days by Titus Llewellyn. And we have a sound cloud for this. If Gray, if you could work your magic, please.
What? Back to the Time of Black and White Days. Shoveled ash and bone like chalk it was. Charcoal lay upon chrome from the coal. Cotton socks had forged as burnt ebony where glistening eggshell remained hung. A foam fog left a froth. The grey gunmetal heaped high on the granite floor. It had left a coat of licorice. It did eventually settle after a time, magnesium. Had it blown away? I think of my grandmother, a life of linen at home, a magnolia twine, a domestic who pumped up pillars like a marshmallow. Milk polish serenaded the varnished steps at the Nickelodeon, with Pearl and Dean ringing in her ears. Love in a mist, she'll remember the thunder under that mushroom umbrella. A handle of onyx dispelled the onion on her hands. Her face of opal, she the oyster in his life. The wife that was my grandmother, who with that pepper spray she kept that day. That pewter jug she gave him, he kept his peppermint in. Blessed heartburn, he'd say. Gifts like platinum and porcelain were a luxury, other than root powder and other healthy homemade remedies, but no diamonds, mind you. But what instead was it with this ring of quartz to wed? The late 50s were the bleakest shadow of dark days, smoke, smog, soot and slate, and all this did lay under snow to allow some sugar-coated humour, hopes to raise the cold from those dark and dreary days. Still, and the true salt of this earth he was, tough as zinc and iron, yet tar in his lungs sounded like the word titanium. I'd pray my wishing back those black and white days, she would say, yes, and Silver was his name.
I can't believe Titus wrote that poem to a word bank with those words underlined. It was amazing. It was nostalgic. It brought back many memories of me, of my grandmother, especially when he started reading. The late 50s were the bleakest shadow of dark days, smoke, smog, and soot and slate. And all this delay under snow to allow some sugar-coated humor hopes to rise the cold from the dark and dreary days. You know, this just
right.
made me think so much of my grandmother. It was so nostalgic, and it brought me back to another time. It's just so funny how we're not too far from the 50s, yet, you know, I guess for us it would seem like yesterday because time has really passed so quickly in this modern age. And I just, you know, my grandmother always used herbs, root powders, and this is what I loved. It just made me smile. We're a luxury other than the root powder and the other healthy homemade remedies, but no diamonds, mind you. But what instead was it? It was his ring of quartz to wed, you know. And for me, you know, it just reminded me of my grandmother. She always made everything homemade. It was always delicious. She always gave us things that were made from natural remedies. And, you know, I really love this poem and the music that he played in the background, and especially the tenderness of Titus' voice when he was reading this. What did you think, Katie?
I'm sorry. I thought it was wonderful. I love the fact that this was a word bank. I think being able to do that without it actually appearing in any way stilted or forced or, you know, elbowed in.
Mm-hmm.
It's just wonderful. Mm-hmm. It really is. It's when it happens like this and you can see this, it's amazing that you could do it like that. I mean, every single word I think he used, didn't he? Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Steel and the true salt of this earth he was, tough as zinc and iron, yet tar in his lungs sounded like the word titanium. I pray my wishing back those black and white days, she would say yes, and Silver was his name. Beautiful. So thank you so much for sharing that with us. It's wonderfully done.
I agree. Thank you, Katie. And we have one more comment. Irish Rose.
Oh, I really enjoyed this. I love the story. The story was just knit this whole thing together so well. And when I got to the portion about the late 50s, my mind immediately jumped to, oh, those were hard times because, you know, we were coming out of Korean War and all this other stuff, and people were getting modern, but they didn't know how to be modern, and all these wonderful TV dinners and, oh, a television, and all this great stuff was happening, you know, in the United States. And when I think about those times, but then we were still cruising into the early part of the 60s where the Vietnam thing was starting to unfold. And so, you know, we were going from one darkness to the other, but with all these modern things in our lives that we cherished. And I could feel that nostalgia. And I thought this was really woven so well. Great piece.
Agreed. Thank you, Irish Rose. That was a wonderful comment. And Katie, you ready for our next open poem? Poetry poem?
Okay. I'm Funny by Nunu Cardoso. And Frank, are you up for reading a poetry? Would you be okay to read
this?
Can you read, Frank?
Yes, I can read this poem, dear. Okay. Just bear with me here. This is a poem by Nunu Cardoso. It's called I'm Funny. Why can't I add any poems to this Facebook group? Click the little writing box and add one. I don't have one. Don't have what? A little writing box. Have you added any poems there before? No, how could I? I don't have a little writing box. It is the one with the grey background. No, it's the one with the hearts. Jesus Christ, we've talked about this. Don't you Jesus Christ me? But isn't he your Lord and Saviour? Gonna kick you. Ha ha ha. I'm not gonna do a laugh tonight. You'll have to do with that tonight.
Oh my goodness, that was such a
I know Katie was waiting for my evil laugh there.
No, it was a fabulous read. And you should see, this reminded me so much of Phil. I'm asking her, how do I put up pictures like Pam does with, you know, or Naomi does with all those different images or different quotes, and she tried to help me. I even took pictures of my phone. She goes, you don't have that on your phone? So then we go to my computer and we try to do it on my computer. You don't have that on your computer? But, you know, she tries to help me. I can't kill her because I love her. Oh, my goodness. So let's get some comments here. Laurent.
Yeah, it is a wonderful appreciation of what happens in this modern age. When you're trying to cope with what seems to be simple in front of you, simple to everyone else. Everyone else has that little writing box, and you don't have one. It doesn't matter where you look. You're not going to find it. I really enjoy his humor. It's pithy, but it's, boy, is it on point.
So true. Thank you, Laurent. And how about you, Greg? What did you think?
I loved it, you know.
Gray eyes?
Yeah, I loved it. His humor really shone through quite brilliantly in this, right? And, you know, I could picture this conversation happening between you and I, quite honestly, and you and Phil. you know, you don't have that.
Yeah. So, well, no. Nope. Yeah. And he, yeah, well, I did. You know, I sent it to Gray. Robert used to help me, and Wholeheart used to help me. And so now nobody can help me because I don't got none of those freaking boxes. Thank you, Greg. And Naomi, you're our third commenter. What did you think?
Oh, my goodness.
Frankie did a great job in reading.
Yeah. Oh, my gracious. I was laughing through the whole thing. Like, come on. This is so real. And, you know, you get so frustrated nowadays with all these, and you know, the all these things and all this technology. I call myself techno dumb because, you know, and when you it reminds me of when they ask you for your darn friggin' password, and you know, every place you go on, you have a password, and you never remember the stupid password. And anyway, this is so relatable to today. So well done. Bravo, Nunoa. Great write. Made me really laugh.
Yeah, it was so true. Thank you, everybody. And Frankie did a wonderful job in reading his poem. Thank you. And we're ready for our next poem, Katie.
Okay. Excuse me. The next poem is The Secret Place That Lives Between Us by Hope Soul. And Lou, do you feel up to reading? Or
yes, I do, but I think I'm next on the to read, so I don't want to read twice in a row.
Oh,
because Stelina asked me to read for her. No, you don't know that. Yeah, Stelina asked me to read a poem for her.
Yes, I haven't read that yet.
Irish Rose or you?
Yeah. Definitely. Yes, or Naomi. We've got choices. I love her.
Mm-hmm, Naomi,
yeah.
Lots of women.
I want to hear some of that Spanish there, Lisa.
You want to hear what, darling?
The Spanish there. Just to hear the Spanish there.
I'm missing that completely.
Oh.
Tell me what you said. You want to hear
Spanish
poem.
About,
yeah, how about you read the title and her name, and I'll read the first line, and you can carry on afterwards.
Okay.
We'll
like
work
that.
Together.
We'll do this, okay? Okay. This is The Secret Place That Lives Between Us by Hope So.
Escucha mis palabras, mi amor.
When I lean into your neck and whisper, I've missed you. This doesn't mean I need more time with you, that you haven't given me enough or questioning you at all. Hear me, my dearest. When I say these words in your ear, it isn't because you've been lacking. It's not the hours I miss. It isn't time. My love, each moment we are away, my soul longs for our familiar closeness that we share. It is the moment right before you fall asleep, that intimate breath you release from your lungs, our silence together. I'm not demanding more of you. My body has a desire to feel that stretch of your muscles when you have wakened that is just shared between the two of us. These words aren't to make you feel insecure or to think your woman is never satisfied. On the contrary, I have never been more pleased, more full, the happiness of ever afters. All I'll ever need is those few seconds that are just between us two, where I escape from the demands of life. Rib to rib, chin gliding across the neck, hand holding the others, the quiet, you feed me. Holy sanctuary of ours, I miss you, baby. End poem.
You did such a beautiful read. Thank you so much, Weaver. And this is a beautiful poem, Hope. And our next poet to comment is Frank.
Yeah, first of all, in all seriousness there, Weaver, this was an exceptional read there. And of course, also there at the beginning there with Lou. This poem really did make me ponder a bit here. You know, relationships in themselves, you know, are very complicated with so many things that go, you know, that happen in our lives, you know, the things that we deal with daily. This is a poem that obviously deals with a long-distance relationship. And I really could feel in every stanza the whole notion there of the secret place. You know, when you find that person there, regardless of space, regardless of time and distance, there's always something there yearning. And I do hope that in the end, the yearning is satisfied to the extent where there is love there that materializes there in person there. So I really enjoyed the poem, and I really liked the way she brought the lines in that yearning in this poem here and just revealing to us, you know, what she feels. And I commend her for that, you know.
Mm-hmm. Beautiful, beautiful comment, Frank. And Katie, yes. I know you read this. Would you like to make a comment?
Yes, sorry. I dropped the little button that unmutes me. What a fool. Yeah, I thought this was just so sweet. I love reading it. I know I stumbled a couple of times, and I am sorry. I hate when I do that, but unfortunately, I'm having a real problem with my mouth at the moment, not doing what it's told. But yes, you can talk
you're
to
okay.
it all you
you're
like.
Doing, you're doing okay.
Send you some cherry drops.
Yeah, some
actually,
wine there.
good. Mm-hmm. Or I could always get a fisherman's friend. They're always very good for your throat. And we'll carry on from there.
Okay.
Yes, I thought this was absolutely beautiful. I just, it's lovely to see people being able to share their feelings like this. I think that's what I love about this group. People just allow you into their lives and allow you to glimpse what is theirs. And that is wonderful. And I enjoyed it very much. So thank you for sharing.
Mm-hmm. And I'll be the third commenter. I love the title of her poem. You know, that feeling where no matter how far someone is, you can feel them and you can cherish them. And, you know, even if they are going out to go get some groceries or go to work or to go to the bank, and that feeling all of a sudden, you miss their voice, you miss seeing them. You know, there's just something about working in the kitchen and then them chopping up the vegetables as you're cooking. You know, you may not to the music, but you smile in the closeness of them, that connection that you have. But when they're out of that connection, out of your eyesight, you miss them. And I really love that intimacy right here between lovers. I'm not demanding more of you. My body has a desire to feel that stretch of your muscles when you have awakened. That is just shared between the two of us. These words aren't to make you feel insecure or to think your woman is never satisfied. And, you know, it's not that. Women love to be touched, love to be whispered to. And when we don't feel that warmth, that connection, when it's broken by whatever, them going to visit their mother or grandmother, you know, the thing is that they're not around us in our circle. And in their sleep, they're quiet, and you just can't wait to hear them talk to you and touch you again because they're right next to you. I thought this was absolutely beautiful. Hope, I really thought it was a beautiful poem, and I enjoyed listening to Katie read it, and we are ready for our next poem.
Righty-ho. Now, we're doing this one, and then I'm going to do Stelina's for you to read, and then Laurent's.
Okay.
So we'll do this one. Acoustics by Ben Hart. And Gray, I haven't heard your dulcet tones all evening. Would you care to read that?
Sure, absolutely. Thank you. This is by Ben Hart, and it's called Acoustic. She collected whispers in jars on her desk and stuffs her pockets with mumbles. She wears a necklace of marbles, crazy cat's eyes that see in the dark. She cries crystals that she later places in a row on the windowsill. She had a scrapbook of flattened leaves, butterflies, and razor blades. She played guitar, but only ever acoustic. It better captured her emotions. She would not sing. Instead, she opened a jar and let some lost soul whisper along. End poem.
Cool. Great. You really did a wonderful job in reading Ben's poem. So let's get some comments. And let's see, Katie, and now Irish Rose.
Oh, okay. Irish Rose now or Katie?
Yes, ma'am, Irish Rose.
Oh, okay, thanks. I really enjoyed this poem. Great read, by the way. And the imagery just speaks such flashing things that I am familiar with, you know, the cat's eye marbles, dolls, and scrapbook of flattened leaves, butterflies, and razor blades. Not sure about the razor blades, but, you know, this is a person that's extremely creative and deep and playing guitar. She has music in her soul, and her emotions are there. And she would not sing. Instead, she opened a jar and let some lost soul whisper along. Oh, brilliant. Great. Great poem. Enjoyed it.
Thank you, Irish. Fantastic comment. And what did you think, Laurent?
There are acoustic sounds. There are acoustic visuals. There are acoustic noises that every individual item somehow resonates, and the poet uses that effectively in a poem where you find emotions and whispers and crazy cat's eyes, fine crystals. I mean, what a wonderful use of language all the way through. Absolutely agree with Irish Rose as to the importance of that last stanza. Our jar is open. Mm-hmm. Let some lost soul whisper along. Really excellent piece.
Agreed. Thank you, Laurent. Excellent comment. And our last poet to comment is the reader, Gray Eyes. What did you think?
Yeah, I enjoyed reading it. You know, it really captured the essence of this person that he writes about. You know, and I agree with the use of language. It's creative and it's engaging. Well done. Great job.
Thank you, Gray, so much. And you did a great job reading. And thank you, Ben. Enjoyed the poem. And we're ready for our next poem. It's Katie.
Okie dokie. Don't get me started singing. You would not like it. Okay.
Oh,
dear. All right. Here we have Stelina. And the title is, What If God Was One of Us? And could you read this for us, Liu?
Yes. And Stelina, thank you for the honor of asking me to read. What If God Was One of Us by Stelina. What if God was one of us? If he were, how would we know? He would know us, his subjects from below. Would there be keen perception in his eyes? Would he bear the noble countenance of the wise? Would he be beautiful with elegance and grace? Would ethereal saintliness adorn his face? Would his benevolence radiate from within? Would he appear chaste, free from mortal sin? What if God was one of us? If he were, how could we say? He could be the stranger we pass by every day, or the veteran who sits on a bench in the park, or the lonely man who stays in after dark, the shabby musician playing for change on the street, or the homeless guy who has little to eat, or the worker who toils from dusk till dawn, or the bullied child alone and forlorn. What if God was one of us? If he were, how would we see? We would accept that it were he? Or could we do as we did before? Turn our backs on him and close the door? Or would we this time on faith believe? Would we trustingly his words receive? And would we finally understand that we are all one in every land? For God is one of us. He is everyone of us in poem. Oh, what a beautiful poem. Things to question. Thank you, Stelina. What did you think about this poem, Naomi?
You know, what a stunning, right? You know, that brings us, it's a cry for humanity, really what it is. You know, and a cry for kindness and acceptance. And, you know, to just see all those different people and those different, you know, souls out there and just embrace them, you know, as if they were the face of God and, you know, appreciate each and one of us. Just such a stunning write, Stelina, and so done, so poignant and so... so tender and so sincere. So bravo.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Naomi. And Frank, you're next to comment.
You know, people have asked me why I am a philanthropist or do charity. And I do this precisely because I've been at that point where I need charity. I think it takes one to really experience something like this, to really go and really, really just understand the plight of other people who are out there. Even in, we could call him a god, or we could call him with another name. But if we only remember that what the most humane thing about us is being human, that is where this poem really resonates. I thought he did a fantastic, job with the poem, and you did a fantastic read as well.
Thank you. And I'm third to comment. You know, for me, you know, this made me think when Jesus was God's son was sent to the earth, you know, he wasn't sent to the riches of the pharaohs and of the upper class. He was put with a, what I would call a normal middle class family where he had to work and learn how to work. And he lived just like the rest of us. We're not millionaires and billionaires, we're good gillionaires. He lived a simple life, and just like what Frank was bringing out, you know, he did charitable things and helped people, and that was his purpose, was, you know, to show love to every man, especially those who were not of the upper class. And I do believe that, you know, we all come from, whether you believe we came from Adam and Eve and were created, or you believe we were created and put here by the Great Spirit, or you believe that we came out of the Darwin theory. The thing is that we're all in the same place, coming from the same place, and we all have bred from those original beliefs. We are one. And I wish people would think about that. It was so much hatred that we see going around now. So if you can, you know, give to somebody when you can, and, you know, share when you can, because there's so many in need. Thank you, everybody. Right. And we're ready for our next poem.
And the next poem is Guarding Threshold by Laurent. Would you care to read this for us, please, Laurent?
Yes, I will. And this is written in collaboration with Irish Rose, Guarding Thresholds. My waking days bleed a honeyed womb of emotions. Sorrows fall as somber showers paint an eroded twilight cast across a blazing horizon, fearing that dead, dying savanna, where raw feelings smell of rot in spring rains. Every oversown scar of me aches. Songs of feral dogs chant curses, flying lonely to the hanging moon, revealing their secrets in nature's open sky confessional. Canine's canticle sung to different gods. Smells of decayed soul compels me into shadow's gloom, flashing memories of the we, now lost, dissolved into anger, traveling on the winds. Humans stalk their sanguine darkness, caught in acres of poison thorn bush, hatching, pulling sideways, stumbling furtive in deception, blending in with full hearts, looking silently behind closed doors. Deception smiles, gaslights breathe, comfortable in secretive shadows. Fingers work deadbolt locks, loosing a Gordian knot, guarding thresholds to mortal sin. Tempo.
Oh, Laurent, this is powerful and wonderful imagery with you and Irish Rose. So let's get some comments. Katie, your next comment. Katie?
Oh, sorry. Well, that was quite good. You just missed me being very erudite and interesting on mute.
You always get the best comments on mute.
Yeah, definitely. Oh, I was waxing lyrical. That's all I can say. It's amazing. Alliteration, nothing on me. Yes, I thought this was absolutely beautifully done. I liked the way that it wasn't obvious who was writing what, which is also very great when you have a collaboration. I really love that humans stalk their sanguine darkness, caught in acres of poison thornbush, catching, pulling sideways. Yeah, that happens a lot, isn't it? In the thornbush. Yes, I really enjoyed it. Thank you so much for sharing.
Thank you. And our next poet to comment is Gray.
Yeah, you did a beautiful job reading that poem, Lauren. But, you know, I thought it was a deeply poignant and provocative poem on the subject of mankind and his doings, always fumbling with that Gordian knot. So wonderful, right? And fantastic read as well.
Thank you, Gray. And our next poet to comment is Naomi.
Yeah, you know, what powerful lines there is in here. You know, wow, the descriptive words. You know, very dark in places. Now, humans stalk their sanguine darkness, caught in acres of poison, thorn bush, catching, pulling sideways. You know, what a look on, you know, the greed and hate of that mankind can have. And, you know, it's so well expressed. And, you know, you just have these words in here, like the dying savanna, you know, and the raw feelings, the smell of rot and spring rain. Just such evocative imagery all the way through. Very, very poignant, powerful poem indeed. Great, great collaboration, you two. Amazing.
Agreed. Agreed. Thank you so much, Naomi. Okay, Katie, we're back to you for our next poem.
All right. Next one is Class Fafa Thumbtack Title Pinned to Profile. Hello. I wasn't saying what it had anything to do with it. I'd done that before. I love doing that. Just put the wrong thing in completely. Okay, Naomi, our wonderful Naomi, would you care to read this wonderful piece of poetry?
Yeah. Sorry for the ones that heard it the other night, but wanted to bring it again.
What?
This is hope. The damp night, tucked under a woolen dove, gray sky, carried that biting cold, the kind that only stops on porches of sturdy, thick-walled houses. But as I stood in the mud, murky water bubbling over my boots, gurgling as I walked, I knew this would be no glossy magazine mansion photograph. As from behind the rain-splattered windows of a tiny wooden cabin tumbling beneath rust and rotten planks, I saw her brittle frame like a ghost in a land of torn paper dolls. Her eyes staring out at me, their dank, cloudy color of wet ash chilling my bones. As a door left wide open to an icy wind, slamming only to fly open again. But there she sat so still, petting her pup, her little nose, cold nose furry friend with fluffy floppy ears and deep brown eyes, gifting her with a hope she had never known. And as the storm swirled around her, she waved and smiled, her face glowing, blowing raspberries to the world. I'm still here, I'm still here, I'm still here, hugging the whimpering mutt to her chest. And in that instant, I heard the song of the rain, the drums that are the windows, the cymbals that are tin roofs, the soft, soft maracas, that are the music of the grass, and humming I waited for dawn, the cheery chattering of the birds. End poem.
Naomi, not only was that a beautiful poem, I could hear the emotions and in your voice. Thank you so much. And our first commenter to comment next is, hold on, Frank?
Yes, I believe I heard this poem the other night. And I'm still, you know, listening to the poem again, it really just really brought a deep, a profound emotion in this poem, or emotion shared. You know, you did a fantastic job with the personification of the prompt there. You know, you breathed life into the prompt there with your powerful words. I thought the poem was just empowering, very empowering.
Thank you. That was a beautiful comment, Frank. And Ron?
I knew this would be no glossy magazine mansion photograph. As from behind the rain-spattered window of a tiny wooden cabin, tumbling beneath rust and rotten planks, I saw her brittle frame like a ghost in a land of torn paper dolls. Oof. I think I like this better than any of your other poems, Naomi. You captured the image.
Wow.
The sad delicacy that gripped me with a descriptive excellence that just brought everything alive. Wonderful, wonderful piece.
Thank you.
Thank you, Laurent. Beautiful comment in Irish Rose.
Oh, I really enjoyed this. I have to hearken back to what Frank and Laurent said, and the delicacy of the sorrow that stanza after stanza, and the empathy and the hardship. And, you know, I saw her brittle frame chilling my bones. And then there she is, but she sat there so still, petting her pup, her little cold-nosed furry friend. Floppy ears, brown eyes, gifting her with hope she had never known. And the storm swirled around her. And isn't that how life is? Those who have so little sometimes have more than anyone else. And I really thought this was a great poem that brought the heart into it, and wrap the emotions all around it. Great, great job.
Thank you, Irish Rose.
Thank you, Irish Rose. Beautiful comment. Okay, Katie, we're ready for our next poem.
Okay, we have You by A.R. Wendell. And if no one minds, I would like to read this one. Okay, You. You loom like a cloud, full of wilting wasps. You strike like a snake with a flattened tail. You wait like a spider with a web of dust. You charge like a bear with feet steeped in swamp. You hunt like a shark with a bloody nose. You sting like a scorpion being crushed by a soul. You live like a moth from a roach's cocoon. You grow like a wolf when you flinch at the moon. End poem.
Oh, you did a beautiful job in reading Amy's poem. I really like this poem. I went and looked to see what she wrote this for because it made me curious. And it said to you write your most recent poem you wrote for yourself. And so this was a personal poem, and I really loved her creativeness in here. You know, how she said she's talking about hypocrisy. So somebody has, you know, has hurt her. And, you know, I have, unfortunately, during an episode where I was told to lie, that stinging wasp of nagging they keep stinging you to do something that you know is wrong, even though you love them. And this was a case with two people I loved in my family, and I was asked to lie for one when I could see the justice in the other one. And, you know, the explosion that happened between my family members, and, you know, this is just something so difficult because, you know, my sister, unfortunately, my sister is like a snake. And I don't like to say that about anybody, but she is a beautiful snake. She does so many wonderful things for people, but if you get on her bad side, oh, and then she'll expect you to lie. And unfortunately, I don't know if this is what she went through or what she was going through, but, you know, very difficult to deal with situations like this with betrayal. What did you think about the poem, Bray?
You know, she really captured the contradiction of the spirit quite brilliantly with her metaphors and her alliteration. So an excellent job and a great read as well, Katie.
Thank you, Gray. And I would like to know what you thought, Naomi.
I was kind of busy with my cat. Can you just, you know, I'll leave a written comment. Can you pass
okay.
to somebody
that's
else?
All right. That's all right, sweetie.
Oh, sorry, Amy.
My cat's bothering me. Gray was talking to his cat a few minutes ago, so it must be cat problems. They must sense something in the air tonight. Okay. Mm-hmm. I will catch you again. How about you, Frank? What did you think of Amy's poem?
Yeah. I like the way the poem is embodied, the way she used the metaphor to describe herself, her personality, and so on. So overall, the poem was excellent in that regard.
Agreed. And thank you so much. And we're ready for our next poem, Katie.
Okay, we've got it here. We have Orgasmic Oil by Poetic Picasso. Would you care to lend your tone to this one, please? Oh.
My tone. Oh, the song card is not working.
Oh. Oh, I'm so sorry. You know, I knew you had a SoundCloud. I am such a twit. Sorry.
No, this was written by, it was inspired really quickly by Selena's contest. That's the reason why I brought it tonight.
Ooh. Oh, cool.
My lustful strings of flamenco awaken your sexual appetite. A Latin lover endued in the moonlight passion of Eros, enticing you with the tempting seduction of my naked body. As we indulge in the taste of the red wine of sangria. You pour succulent dripping honey from an exposed chest excitedly, licking and sucking every inch of the midnight moisture of my flesh. As the sweet flavor melts upon your begging tongue of exploration, the unrestrained desires become a cornucopia of pleasures. You feed me the delicious sprinkles of sensual spices, the aphrodisiac herbs evoking the wild beasts of my libido. Ginseng and saffron produce the amorous effects of a phallic brilliance drenched in a lubricated exotic aroma. Your lips are the intoxication of a cherry liquid substance. I put cinnamon in your mouth, burning with a touch of my fingers, reaching the penetrating core of your unfolded petals waiting. As we bathe in your cosmic oil, are the drops of the lavender. Tu eres la especie más picante. Yo soy el trago más dulce. You are the hottest spice. I am the sweetest drink. Once you go Latin, you forget the Saturn. Ole. Ole. in the post.
Comment is Naomi, if she didn't faint in her chair. Naomi.
I think she's busy with her cup there.
Naomi?
I think she said she's leaving. She said she was
okay,
leaving.
Okay, all right. Oh. Okay, all right. Good night, Naomi. Thank you for hanging out with us. How about you, Irish Rose? What did you think?
Oh my God! it was explicit. It was descriptive. It was a journey in seduction, and I really enjoyed the imagery as it flowed from one moment to the other, and the pace of the read and the deliberateness of the delivery. And it was just, it was enthralling. Once you go Latin, you forget the satin. Olé, olé. I'm good.
Thank you. And Katie, what did you think?
Well, what do you think I thought?
Well, I'm going to tell you in a few minutes.
I thought it was hello. Yes, you may have guessed I enjoyed that. Yeah, it was cooler than anything. I do love the way you play with words and play with words. Oh my goodness me!
Well,
you little devil.
Celine for that.
Yes, I'm going to. Don't worry. Oh, I thought it was wonderful. You feed me the delicious sprinkles of sensual spices, the aphrodisiac hits invoking the well beat of my mouth going. I'm getting ready. Oh, for goodness sake, woman. Yes, I thought it was wonderful. Thank you so much for the joy of your words. Thank you. And back to you.
Thank you. And fortunately, it's my turn to comment next. I'm going to have to make this quick. I loved you pour succulent dripping honey upon my exposed chest, excitedly licking and sucking every inch. Oh, there's nothing like hard cherries, and that's all I'm going to say. And then the other thing I liked, your lips are the intoxication of a cherry licorice substance. I put cinnamon in your mouth, burning with the touch of my fingers. There's nothing like a hot cinnamon in your mouth. And when you kiss somebody, you share that fire. You're already on fire. This just puts extra fire on it. That makes your mouth just water even more. So my mouth is watering. And I really enjoyed this poem. And I'm glad you wrote this to Lena.
Well, there you go. Blame the oil drops there of lavender.
And I had such a great time tonight. Thank you, Katie. Thank you, Irish Rose. Thank you, Laurent, Marion, Gray, Naomi, Frank. And I want to thank everybody who hung out in the group. Amy, Hope, Nuno. I saw Jeremy. I could just thank you, everybody. I love you all. Thank you. See you next Monday, whatever wasn't read. Love you guys.
Besitos.
Have a good evening.
Good evening, everybody. Good night.
Good night.
Good night.